Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to the Summit with Adam Tuggle, y'all. We are here live right here on the Spirit Alive Network. We are here to give God praise on today. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you on today. Want to say again, welcome in Jesus' name. This is another beautiful, beautiful Saturday. I do want to say before we get started, we are in the middle of Black History Month. Amen. We are, we're actually at the start of it. Sorry. We're actually at the start of Black History Month. And on this month, I have really, really been able to understand more of what African-American culture has brought to the world and to society, better than I did when I was in school, actually. but we thank God for each and every historic thing that has happened in African-American culture. And we love you guys. We love you. We love all people. But we thank God for this month being Black History Month in Jesus' name. And I also want to say a very special, I want to give a very special shout out before we get started to my very, very beautiful, 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 hallelujah, beautiful wife. On today is her birthday. She would get on me if I told her, if I tell her how old she is, so I'm not going to do that. Happy birthday. Amen.
Amen.
But I love you. I thank God for you. I thank God for, all you do for our family in Jesus' name. And I'm putting this out there on live radio, y'all. This is something in Jesus' name. I love you. And if you're listening to the show on today, just know that your husband loves you in Jesus' name. Amen. And happy birthday again. And also, if I don't get to it, I got to do a double hitter on today. My oldest son, we call him JoJo. His name is Joshan. I want to say happy birthday to him because his birthday is on Valentine's Day. So just in case, I'm not going to forget, son, but just in case, you know, it gets the Spirit of the Lord gets high in here next week, and I tend to forget because I'm getting older in Jesus' name. Amen. But I'm still young. Happy birthday to you as well, my son. I love you, and I thank God for you being my son. I don't like the fact that you were born on Valentine's Day because it kind of hinders what me and your mother do. No, I'm just playing. I'm joking. I'm just joking, y'all. But I do. I love my children. I love my wife in Jesus' name. But I thank God for each and every day that you are in my life and you are present in my life, and I thank God for you. And you are growing up to be a very, very great young man in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, y'all. We're getting ready to get started on our program on today. Today, I said it last week that we were going to look at the difference between the spirit man and human man and how the connection can happen. There is a connection between the human race and the spirit or spirits in general. Spirituality is connected to the human being. You cannot have you cannot have the human being, and what I mean by human being, I mean humans, without the spirituality. You cannot, and I will repeat that again, you cannot have the human race without the spiritual side of it. And we're going to go quickly. We're going to jump into this real quick. We're going to jump into the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7. And it starts right here, and this is the evidence that the Lord showed me about this topic on today. Before I read this, I do want to say, if there is anybody that has any questions, comments, or concerns, you can call in. And because this is a very, very big topic, because there are a lot of people that do not believe in the spiritual side of things. Some people don't believe that there is a heaven. Some people don't believe that there is a hell. Some people don't believe in that there is even that God exists. Some people don't believe that even the devil exists. And all of these spiritual beings exist, even the devil. The Lord exists. The devil exists. Hell exists. Heaven exists. These are the things that exist in the spirit. We cannot see it in the natural. And a lot of people, with their minds, if they can't see it, they don't believe it. If they can't see it, and what I mean is they can't see it. Now, I know we sometimes say in church, you know, I can see the Spirit of God moving and things like that, which we can. But there are some people that are in the world that do not believe it unless they see it with the natural eye. Amen? So we're going to break it down today. Is there really a spiritual side to the human, to human beings? And that answer is yes, there is. And that is found in, like I said, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And I'm going to read it. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. This is where the connection happens between humans and spirituality. This is the first connection right here that in part tells us the connection. And man became a living soul. This means, and I'm going to use this example, and if you don't believe me, you can call in and tell me about it. I ain't going to say challenge, or you can challenge me on it or whatever. But this is the word of God. Man became a living soul. That word, living soul, you cannot live, and I cannot live, and man cannot live without their soul. It's just like in the natural, a person cannot live without their heart, their brain. There are a couple things that man can live without. One of the things, you can live without your tonsils. Amen? You can live without your wisdom teeth. Amen? But you cannot live in this world, in this present world, without in the natural. And I'm not talking about spiritual right now. I'm talking about in the natural. You cannot live. There's two things. I named off two things you can live without. There's more things that you can live without, but there's things you can live without. You can live without your tonsils, and you can live without your wisdom teeth. But there are two things, main things, that you cannot live without: your heart and your brain. Amen? Now, there are two things that you cannot live without in the spiritual. One of them you have to receive. You can live. Now, you can choose to live without it, but your life is not going to go well. You might say, well, my life is doing fine. I'm going to explain them to you. You cannot live without your soul, and you cannot live without the Holy Ghost. Amen? I'm going to repeat that again. You cannot live without, in the natural, you cannot live without the heart and your brain. Okay? And these are the two main important pieces of the human body, your brain and your heart. And you need blood and so on and so forth. We know this. But those are the two main functions. The only way for your blood to pump through your body is by your heart and your brain. Amen. You must have these two things to be able to live. In the spiritual, like I said, in the natural, you can live without your tonsils. You can live without your wisdom teeth. But guess what? I'm going to show you this example. You can live without a person can live without their teeth, correct? But look at this. It's going to be very, very hard for you to eat food without your teeth. And it makes it very, very hard for you to eat food that brings substance to you in the natural, in your natural body, right? Without your teeth. You need your teeth to be able to chew your food, you know, all that. You can live, you can try to live without the Holy Ghost, but it's going to be very, very hard for a person to live without the Holy Ghost. Same example. Just like you need your teeth to chew the food, the meat. Say you want a steak. You ain't got no teeth. You're not gonna be able to chew that steak up. And if you don't chew your food up in the natural, you might choke on that food, right? That's the same thing with the spiritual. The Holy Ghost. And it's very, very hard to live. The reason why I say it's very, very hard to live without the Holy Ghost is because it's very hard for a person to digest the Word of God without the Holy Ghost. This is where spirituality comes in at. This is where your seeking God comes in at. Amen. It is very, very hard to digest the Word of God without the Holy Ghost. Why? Because it says, study to show thyself approved. Now you can study and understand. It's just like a person going into school. When they first go into school, when a child first goes into school, they don't know. Like I'll use my 4-year-old. 4-year-old, he's very, very knowledgeable when it comes to his ABCs. He can sing the ABC song and all that stuff. Know some of his numbers. But he does not know what his older brother, who is 9, knows because he's in the 4th grade. He wouldn't know what a 4th grader knows. It'd be very, very hard to him. It would be very, very hard for my 4-year-old to go to the 4th grade and skip kindergarten through 3rd grade and just go straight up to 4th grade. And he's just now getting into school. That's the same difference. Without the Holy Ghost, you cannot. Because the Lord can open up your eyes. I'm not saying that you can't digest the word or you can't understand the word, because the word is made plainly for everybody. Even it's made so plain that even a dummy can understand it. And I'm not calling anybody any dummies, but this is the way the word of God is. Okay? That even the most minute person that you think won't understand the word can understand it. He made it that that plane for us. But it's very much harder for you to understand, or a person to understand, the Word of God without the Holy Ghost. Why? Because the Holy Ghost opens your eyes unto things that you won't be able to see being carnal minded. Okay? And that's where spirituality comes in and connects us to it. We can't fight. Like, it's just like this. It's like, and I use my dad a lot when I talk about the military, because my dad served in the military, served this country, you know, all of that. And shout out to my dad, you know, thank you, serving the country and all that. But my father did not go into the military knowing what the military standards were. Okay? He didn't just go in when he first went in, oh, I know everything. I know everything about the military. He didn't do that. He had to be trained how to understand how to be a soldier. When you study the Word of God, it teaches you how to maneuver through the minefields of spiritual warfare. It teaches us what to do in times of spiritual combat. Okay? This is where the spiritual side comes in, because if you have, and I said this during a sermon one time, nothing in the natural will help you beat any devil in the spiritual. I'm going to say that again. Nothing in the natural will help you beat a spiritual devil. If the devil is raging in a person's life, if the devil has a hold of a person, nothing in the natural will help that individual get out. You cannot use, for example, if a person is going through depression, we know depression is a spirit. You can't use drugs and alcohol and all that stuff to get over. To come out of that depression, you have to use, since depression is considered, now in the natural it is considered as a disease or illness. The spiritual is considered as a spirit, and it is. This is where human beings are connected to the spiritual realm, okay? Everything living on this earth is connected to the spiritual realm. And I mean, and even the dogs and the cats are connected to the spiritual realm. You don't believe me? Spirits can get in dogs and cats. Spirits can, now, animals do not have souls. That's another topic for another day. But we have different scriptures in the Bible where spirits have gone into animals. When Jesus rebuked the spirits out of, when Jesus rebuked the spirits out of a man and cast it into the swine, what do you think he was casting that into? He was casting those spirits into pigs, and the pigs jumped off a cliff and killed herself. That's an animal. Amen? That's an animal. Now, watch this. It's not all when you hear about the spiritual realm is not just demonic stuff. It's not just holy stuff. It's not just holy spirits. It's not just demonic spirits. It's both. It's both. Because both are warring against one another to try to get control over God's people. Now, the Bible does say when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Yes, sometimes God allows the enemy, just like he did with Job, just like he allowed things to happen to the woman with the issue of blood. God sometimes allows things to happen, but the enemy can only go so far with it. Okay? Just like I said with Job, he can only go so far with it. The enemy could only go so far. He went so far, the Lord allowed him to go so far as to take everything from him, but he couldn't touch his life. Now, we read this in the book of Job. Now, what if God allowed him, what if God allowed the enemy to take Job's life? Then the devil would have took Job's life, amen? But God said no. Imagine yourself. Now, I've witnessed this. I've been in this. I was in a car accident. I've been in more than one. There was one where I was riding with my godmother, and we would drive down the street. You know, she was driving. You know, I was just riding. And all of a sudden, car from the back of us hit us, and hit us so hard it sent us on the other side of the street. Okay? Cars were coming at us. My godmother was able to get back on the other side of the street, but thankfully, and underneath the grace of God, we were covered. No cars came at us. Even the cars that were coming towards us moved out of the way. Now, that was nothing but the Spirit of the Lord protecting us. If we do not have the Spirit of God protecting us, looking out for us, we would be a mess more than what we are right now. Okay? The Bible says we live, we move, and we live, we move, we breathe, and we have our very being in him. Without him, nothing is possible. With him, all things are possible. Amen? The Bible says in Philippians, I think it's 4:13, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. You can't live without him. You can't live without his presence. You can't live without his spirit. This is the spiritual realm connected to the natural realm. We can't have a natural realm unless the spiritual realm is connected to it. You can't have it. And those that believe that there is no God, you are a fool. Those that believe that there is no devil, you are a fool. Well, you might say, well, why are you over there praising the devil? I'm not praising him. I'm just telling you a reality. I'm just giving you reality. This is a fact. The devil is real. Demonic spirits are real. If it wasn't real, we wouldn't be looking at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. What do you mean, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12? Well, let's go to it. Let's look at it, and I'll show you what I'm talking about. If, I'm going to say it again, if demonic spirits were not real, we wouldn't need Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12. God wouldn't have put that in there. All right? I'm just telling y'all. And I'm going to read it to you. And this is one of my favorite verses, by the way. And I'm going to read it. It says, "But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. If the devil was not real, if hell wasn't real, if demonic spirits weren't real, we would not be following Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12. It says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. What does that mean? My war, my battle, my fight is not against my brother and my sister, naturally or spiritually. When you have an issue with a person, your fight is not against them. It is against the spirit within them that they are allowing that spirit to use them to try to come against you. Your war is against that spirit, not them. As much as I get upset with my children when they get in trouble, and I tell them all the time, don't do nothing crazy. I tell them all the time, don't do nothing crazy. While you're at school, be on your best behavior. And that's what we have to do. Even when people try to come against us, we have to be on our best behavior. Even when people are not watching us, we have to be on our best behavior for God. I'm going to read verse 13. Verse 13 was not in my notes, but I'm going to read it. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having to done all to stand. Verse 14, stand therefore. And it goes into the armor of God. After verse 14 says, "Stand therefore," it goes into the pieces and the armor of God. If we did not have a spiritual fight on our hands, we would not need the spiritual armor of God. It says, "Put on the whole armor of God." We wouldn't need it if there was nothing spiritual, if there was no demonic spirits, if there was no demonic anything, if there was no demonic entities, we would not need it. God's not crazy. He's not going to put something in there that we don't need. If we don't need it, if it's not broke, don't fix it. He knew that we needed this. That's why he knew that it started in the garden. The war started. The spiritual war started in the Garden of Eden. Believe it or not. This spiritual war, this spiritual, as far as demonic spirits and human coming in contact with demonic spirits started in the Garden of Eden. You might say, well, no, it didn't. How did it start in the Garden of Eden? When Eve was tempted by the serpent. Have you ever seen a snake talk? I'm asking you. If you see a snake talk, run. Because that ain't nothing but a demonic. That ain't nothing but a demonic spirit. If you see a snake talk, run while pleading the blood of Jesus. That ain't nothing but a demonic spirit. That's where demonic spirits started working. Ain't no snake gonna talk to you. I've had a relative tell me, one of my relatives who I love dearly, who I still love dearly to this day, passed away a long time ago. And my living relative at the time, they told me, well, if this person comes back, now this person is dead. I watched this. I saw them. I was at their funeral. I saw them laying in a casket. And this individual told me, if this person comes back, starts speaking to you, just don't be scared. Now, I'm 9 years old. First of all, you don't tell a nine-year-old that. I don't care who you are. Second of all, the answer that I gave was not the answer that they expected for me to say. It didn't take my father and my mother to tell this individual. It took me to tell him at nine. So this fire that I have inside of me didn't just start when I became an adult. I was saying stuff even before. Thank God. I told this individual, I said, look, I don't mean no harm. But if this individual, who I love dearly, talking to me, and I know that they dead, I know it's not them. First of all, this thing of spiritual reincarnation, that ain't nothing but a demonic spirit. I'm saying this because there are people that believe this stuff. We need to watch out for this stuff. Spirituality, both demonic and holy, are real. It is real. When you see people being taken over by demonic possession, that stuff is real, y'all. Guard yourself. I don't know why. The Lord told me to do this topic today. Amen. The Lord said do this topic, so I'm doing it today. I'm doing what the Lord told me to do. I don't know who this is for. I don't know who this is for. But let me tell you something. In the spiritual realm, you have, and I ain't gonna, and I'm gonna say it like I'm teaching my at my church in a children's Sunday school class. You have good spirits and you have bad spirits. But both you need to watch out for. Because God can speak to you, and this is the reason sometimes when we think we hear God's voice, I don't mean to go here. And we think there's three voices that we need to watch out for. There's three. You might say, whoa, there's three? What three do we need to watch? The Lord's, the devil's, and yourself. You might say, myself, what? Why myself? I don't need to watch out for my own voice. Why I need to watch out? Because your own voice can get you in trouble too. You think it's the Spirit of the Lord, and it's actually your flesh. And when I say flesh, I'm talking about skin and bone. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your mindset, your thought process. Your own self can get you in trouble. Your own mindset can get you in trouble. That's why I say it ain't always the devil that's doing stuff. Sometimes we put our own self in different predicaments in life. We put our own self in predicaments. Sometimes it's not even the devil. And we blaming the devil for this and that, and the devil looking like. Now, I'm not. Now, when I say this, I'm not giving the devil any glory when I say this. Okay? But just hear me. We put the devil on a guilt trip a lot as saints of God. We blame the devil for everything. Some of this stuff, the devil didn't do it. You did it yourself. And y'all trying to find somebody and I'm going to use me. I'm going to use me. There were, in my life, I've done this. I'm very transparent. I'm very transparent. I'm very real. If it's me, I'm going to say it's me. And it's been me. I went up there and said, oh, the devil did this, and I know I caused that problem. Never to have nothing to do with that. That was my own thought process that said, do this, and I did it. I did that. And now I want God to get me out. Oh, Lord, I can't deal with this, Lord. Well, you shouldn't have got yourself into it. Why would you get yourself involved in that? And you knew the out. Sometimes in spiritual warfare and in spirituality, we can get ourselves caught up in something that really we don't need to be caught up in. And sometimes it's not the devil's fault. Sometimes it's your own fault. Sometimes it's my own fault. That's where we need to be like Christ. We need to listen out for the voice of the Lord. There are many different ways for the Spirit of God to speak to us. He speaks in an audible voice. He speaks to us through the Word of God. He speaks to us through the pastor. He speaks to us through sermons being preached. He speaks to us through word of knowledge. He speaks to us through prophecy. He speaks to us through, he can use anything to speak to us. The devil can speak to you and make it sound so good. You don't believe me? Let's go back to Eve. He made it sound so good to Eve. He made it sound so good, so plain, so pleasant. You won't surely die, but you'll become as gods. What in the world? The devil, if we allow the devil to do what he wants to do, he'll have us looking like some plum fools. He had Eve looking like a plum fool. If don't nobody say amen, I'll say amen. Amen. I brought my amens with me. He had Eve looking like a plum fool. He had Adam looking like a plum fool. And look, the devil, the serpent, or whatever you want to call it, the serpent didn't even speak to Adam. But guess what? That's why I said last week, words have power. The serpent didn't even speak to Adam, but the word got in Eve. The word of this serpent, the word of the devil, got into Eve's mindset. And that mindset spoke out. It had already been planted in her head. This thing had already been planted in her head by the enemy. Amen. And when he planted that seed of doubt, when he planted that seed of disobedience in Eve's head, that's why the Bible tells us to keep our mind stayed upon him. Now, if Eve's mind had been stayed upon the Lord and what the Lord said, she wouldn't have got tricked. She wouldn't have got tricked. Now, watch this. The same way that God was tempted in the Garden of Gethsemane is the exact same way that the enemy tries to come at us. Now, he has many different ways to come at people. But watch this. He uses three ways. There's only three ways he can come in. and use these weapons that he has. There's only three ways. The same three ways that he tried to tempt Jesus. See, the first tempting was through Adam and Eve, and he won. The second tempting was trying to tempt Jesus, and he lost. But he used the same exact thing. He used his influence. He used his soft-spoken words. He used his intellect. Amen. He used that to try to get Eve to do what he wanted her to do. Actually, you know what? Let's read that. Let's read that. Watch this. I want y'all to understand this. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, 2, and 3, and 4, it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Ye has God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the tree, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the tree of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Now watch this. Watch this. I want y'all to see this. "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, when your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." You see how he used his trickery there? You see that in verse number 5? He said, "You shall be as gods." Now, first off, he used that trickery of influence. He used that deceiving. He deceived her. Because there are three ways, like I said, there are three ways that the enemy comes in and tries flesh and the pride of life. He used his intellect. He gave that pride of life. "Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Amen. That pride of being higher than others, being better than others. That's the trickery. That trickery. And we all know the story. We don't read the verses before. Eve came in and ate of that tree. I ain't gonna say apple, because it didn't say it was an apple. It just said of the forbidden fruit. We don't know what the fruit was. But watch this. As we read further, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food," there goes that. She was tempted. She was sucked in. She was sucked in. Us as human beings, we can get sucked into to things that the devil throws at us. And I call the devil a con artist. I call him a con artist. He paints up a very beautiful picture. He makes it look so glamorous, makes it look so nice. But at the end of, on the other side of that picture is destruction. End of this picture that he painted up for Eve was destruction. Well, how did we see it as destruction? Because they were separated from the Spirit of God. There was destruction because it separated us. It separated. It didn't just separate me. It didn't just separate you. It didn't just separate Adam. It didn't just separate Eve. It separated mankind from the Lord because of their disobedience. Because of our disobedience, it separates us. I'm going to finish reading this. And when the woman saw that it was saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, bow, right there. Right there. It was pleasant to the eye, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, I, the lust of the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, the pride of life. Right there. Her flesh was tempted. Should I do it? Should I not do it? The Lord don't know what he talk about. I'm just going to go ahead and, you know, let me ask you a question. Now, Eve was tricked. Eve was tricked. Now, I'm not going to stay stuck on Eve right now. I'm not going to stay that. I'm not going to stay stuck on Eve. But Eve was tricked. She gave in to her lustful desires, her lustful desire of wanting to be wise and in the fruit looking so good to her that she, you know, hey, that food look good to eat. You know how we are. That food good. That food look good. You know how you see your favorite meal. But watch this. What she didn't see, and I'm gonna use this analogy. I saw, and y'all might say, well, this is a bad analogy coming from who it came from. No, it's a good analogy from who it came. The person, and I'm not judging anybody. One day I was watching an episode of The Cosby Show, okay? And in this episode, I believe it was the character Vanessa. She brought her friend to the Huxtable house, and they didn't know the guy, and they never met the guy, and she just brought him over for them to for her parents to meet him, okay? And Cliff, Bill Cosby's character was named Cliff Huxtable. He gave this analogy to him and Vanessa, to this guy and Vanessa. He said, now, picture, and I want you to picture this. This is the same thing with our lives, with our spiritual lives, and what the devil tries to do. Okay? Picture your favorite meal. You might want some steak and potatoes and whatever, fish and French fries or whatever, your favorite meal, okay? Me, personally, I like steak and potatoes. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So I got my steak. I got my potatoes, okay? And I'm going to add, I got my potatoes and onions and my whole steak. Imagine that my wife done made me a whole steak, potatoes, and onions and poured on, and on top of it is his gravy and all that stuff, all that good stuff. Got my other vegetable right there, you know, on this all of this on one plate, and it looking good. Steak and onions and everything. Mushrooms, all that. Now, picture that nice plate, that meal that you love, that meal that you just can't go without unless you're fasting. unless you're fasting. Imagine a person serving you that. You feel like a king or a queen, amen? Now, this is the analogy that Cliff gave. Imagine that person serving you that plate, but he doesn't put the steak and potatoes and your little side vegetable on a plate. He takes a dirty, nasty can lid and puts your steak, your potatoes, and your vegetable and all the potatoes and the onions and the smothered mushrooms and all that stuff, and he puts it on the trash can lid. Now, this trash can lid is dirty. It's nasty. And he serves, and the waiter serves it to you. That's not appetizing, is it? Now, if you eat this, now picture this. If you eat this, you could possibly become sick, because if you put your steak, your potatoes, and all your favorite foods on this trash can lid, there's a big possibility that your food can become contaminated, right? And if you eat this food, now your body can become contaminated. That's the same thing with spirituality. We must watch the way, where we take, what we take in, how we take it in, and what we take it in on. Every person, and this is about the church. I'm talking about the church now. We can't eat from everybody's table because everybody's table ain't clean. You can't eat just because they cry Jesus does not mean that you can eat from their table. Naturally and spiritually too. I'm not going to go to somebody's house that's nasty and dirty and eat it out of their kitchen. I'm sorry. That's just not, no. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be mean. But that's what it is. I'm not going to eat from a person's house and they nasty and dirty. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do that. When you talk about the natural concept of a human being, spirituality, in the spiritual realm, you have to have both connected together. You cannot have one without the other. Now, can the spiritual realm survive without the human being or the natural creation? Yes. Yes, it can, because the word of God is going to continue long after we're gone, and it's going to stand. But we as human beings cannot survive without it. We cannot survive without the spiritual realm. Now, we can survive without the devil, because we don't need the devil running rampant over our lives, and I'm not saying that. We can do without the spiritual addictions, amen? We can do without that. Even though they're going to come, we can do without them. It's best that we don't have them. We know we're going to have them, but it would be a great thing if we didn't have them. Though, since you know, and since we know that we have them, the Lord has given us weapons to fight off those addictions, those times that we go through life's hurdles. the times that we have to fight. He has given us weapons. The weapons. The Bible says the weapons of all warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the what? The pulling down of strongholds. Our weapons are not a gun, a knife, a sword, or a tank. It's not military, it's not natural military ammunition. Hey, man, it's not that. That's why I said, how you going to, look, I'm going to say this, and I said it earlier. You can't use anything in the natural to fight off a spiritual hurdle. Okay? If you have a spiritual addiction, you cannot use a natural substance to fight it off. I need to smoke my cigarette to be able to calm myself down. No, you don't. I need my alcohol to help me calm down. No, you don't. You think you do, but you don't. Well, I need a man or a woman to be there for me, so that I feel like I'm alone and I need somebody around. No, not at the cost of you losing your spiritual substances. The Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose what? His soul. Your soul is the most important thing you have on this earth. It's more valuable than any money, than any cars, than any clothes, than any houses on a hill. You, look, I'm going to say it like this. I hear a lot of preachers say, well, you're going to start that new business. You're going to have that nice car. You're going to have that nice house. They always prophesying something materialistic. And granted, the Lord wants you to have that. The Lord wants you to be blessed. The Lord wants you to prosper. Yes, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. But the Lord also wants you to prosper in your spiritual life, too, because the Bible does clearly say that you will prosper as your what? Soul prospers. If your soul's not prospering, what? It doesn't amount to a hill of a bean if your soul is not prospering. If you write that new book, so what? If you have that new house, so what? If your soul's not prospering, well, so what? I said it like this to somebody. You can have 1,000,001 houses. You can have 1,000,001 cars. You can have millions upon millions upon millions upon billions of dollars. It does not make any difference if your soul is in jeopardy. Because out of all of those 5 and 6 cars that you got, out of those 2 and 3 houses that you got to live in, you got one life to live it all in. You got one life. Out of the 1,000,001 suits in your closet, and I'm hitting church today. I'm hitting the church and I'm hitting the world both. You can have 1,000,001 suits in that suit closet. You can have 1,000,001 dress shoes. You can have 1,000,001 scarves and 1,000,001. It don't matter. But you got one life to wear all those clothes. You got one life to live in all 3 of those houses. You got one life to drive all 5 of those cars. Because once that life is over, boom. And the Bible says life is like a vapor. It appears for a little while and then it vanishes away. So you better think wisely. We as a people better think wisely. We have to be wise about where we go, what we do, what we say. Because it's all connected to the spiritual realm anyway. The things that we own, it don't belong to us. He said he owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. He owns all this. He allowed all this to happen. He created this. We're just living on borrowed time. Your life, we read it earlier. We read it earlier. And he breathed the breath of life in man and man became what? A living soul. It's not always all the time that you're going to, you're not going to live on this world forever. You're not going to live in this world forever. I'm telling you that now. I'm not going to live forever on this earth. For the people that think that you have multitude and multitudes and multitudes of time, abundance of time, you don't. We are all living on borrowed time. All of us. All of us are living on borrowed time. Whether you be saint or sinner, whether you think you are the biggest sinner in the world or you are the most minute sinner, whether you think you're holier than thou, whether you think you're the best, whether you think you're the least of them, we are all living on borrowed time. Every day that you live, you have a chance to get it right with the Lord. And the more time you waste is a time that you could have exceeded in Christ, that you could have excelled in Christ. I've said it on this show before. What you do is connected to other people. That dream that you have, that dream is connected to other people. Your salvation, do you know, and you might say, well, how is that connected to other people? Your salvation is connected to other people. You receiving salvation is, and what I mean by connected to other people, I mean it's not, they can't save you. Now, I'm not going to, when you receive the Holy Ghost and you receive salvation, don't you know that that could be it is a blessing for other people? You receiving salvation is a blessing for other people because now you have a testimony to give other people. Well, I have a testimony anyway because the Bible, doesn't the Bible say, Minister Adam, that praise the Lord? I have a testimony anyway. We have a testimony. As long as we live, we have a testimony. Yeah. The Bible does say that everything that has breath, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. Yes, you can praise the Lord. Yes, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. Yes, saint and sinner, as long as you got breath in your body, you can praise the Lord. Yes. That's a blessing. Didn't you say I was born blessed? Yes, you're born blessed. You're born blessed because you're alive. It's a blessing to be alive. Okay. But some of our blessings come with stipulations. There are some things that the Lord does for us because we are obedient to his word. There are some things that he does. Okay, such as taking care of us. He said he would. He's not going to see us hungry. He's not going to see us outdoors. He's not going to see us he said that he would provide for us. That is a promise from the Lord. That's not conditional. That's a promise. And the Lord always keeps his promises. Okay? Amen. Glory be to God. But there are some blessings that are conditional. There are some things that the Lord has for us that are conditional. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can call in right now. And you can give your comments in Jesus' name. We would love to hear from you. If you have any questions, I will try to answer them the best way I know how, the way the Lord gives it to me on today. But I'm going to say it like this. If, and only if, because we're running short on time now. We're getting close to the end. But I want to say this. If you do not believe in this word of God, I challenge you today to just trust it. I dare you, I challenge you to trust the word of God today. We have read the scriptures. We have read some scriptures. We have seen the evidence. We have seen the evidence that the spiritual realm is real. Demonic spirits are real. Heaven is real. Hell is real. God is real. The angels of the Lord are real. Amen. Your spiritual psyche is real. It's real. What you take, it's just like a natural diet. What you consume can either hurt you or help you. The same thing with the spiritual. If you are consuming the sinful nature, that's what's going to, that's, if you are partaking in a sinful nature, that's what you consume. And that's what will run out of you. And you'll get spiritually sick. But if you are consuming the knowledge and the word of God, then that's what will be your substance in your walk with Christ. That is what will be, that's what will come out of you. Joy will radiate from you. Peace will radiate from you. Salvation will radiate from you. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord will radiate from you, and that can be your strength. When you feel like you have no strength, that'll be your strength. Because when you're weak, you're strong. Amen. Without Him, we are weak. We are as frail as can be. We're frail. Even though you think you so bad that can't nobody touch you, you frail. The ones that think you so bad that can't nobody touch me, ain't nobody better than me, I'm the top dog, I'm the top this, I'm the top that, you are frail without the Lord. Without Jesus, you are frail. I don't care if you in the church or out of the church. I don't care if you're a backslider. I don't care if you've never partaken in this word. I don't care if you've never heard of it. Today you heard. Amen. You are frail without Him. You are frail without the spiritual realm of God. There, sometimes, and I'm going to say it like this, and we're getting ready to get out of here. I said it like this. Sometimes I like me time, okay? I like me time, me, by myself. Sometimes it's just me. My wife likes her me time, where she don't want to be bothered with me, the children, nobody else. There are times where my boys don't want to be bothered with their brothers and their parents. They just want some me time. Okay? Sometimes you don't want to be close to people. I understand. You tired. You don't want to get, you know, you come in the house from work and your children tell me, Mommy, can you do this? Daddy, can you do that? They just, and you like, hold up. Just give me some me time for a minute. The backup. I need you to back up. Bills piling all up in your face and all this stuff, and you just want some me time. Just give me 5 minutes. And you don't want nobody close to you. But let me say this. God is not that way. There is no such thing as being too close to God. Matter of fact, he wants you to be so close to him that you smother him. He is the only person that I know, God is the only person that I know that enjoys being smothered by people. With praise, with worship. Now, you can't just bring him anything. But he loves to be praised. He loves to be worshipped. And you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. The devil does too. That's why I said, I think in the previous show, when we give testimonies, there's a time. That's why some churches have cut out testimony service. I did not mean to go here. That's why some churches have cut out testimony, because people don't know how to testify. Uh-oh. People don't know how to give testimonies anymore. So they let the pray. Now, me, I be honest with you. This is me personally. I have no any churches that do praise teams. More power to you. I do not like praise teams. The reason being is because the only way I do not like praise teams is if the praise team is doing it all and won't let the people praise the Lord, or you singing a couple songs and that's the praise service. I don't like that. Now, that's just me. Let the people praise the Lord, okay? But I understand, on the flip side of that, I understand why some churches have cut out praise service, because they have literally, people in the church have taken praise service and used it for their own personal gain. Uh-oh. What do you mean? They have used it to glorify the enemy. Oh, the devil did that to me. Oh, the devil did this to me. Oh, I wouldn't have been able to get up if the devil hadn't done this, and the devil hadn't done it. All you hear is what the devil did to you. And at the end, oh, but God is good. Excuse me? Where was God's praise? Where was God's worship? Where was God's glory at? You glorifying the enemy. Every sentence that came out of your mouth, the devil did this, the devil did that, the devil did this, the devil did that. Oh, my head hurt. Oh, my body ached because of this. And all you doing is woe is me and praising the devil. And at the end, oh, God is good. Where was God's praise? The only thing I heard was God is good. Well, what did he do for you? Oh, I don't know, because I don't know what he did for her, because all she said was what the devil did. I don't know what he did for him, because all he said that was what the devil did to him. Wow. That's a shame. That's wrong as two left shoes on the same foot. But we have to understand. I understand that why people take away prayer service. I understand. But learn how to give God. If you, I like old fashioned testimony service. I do. I'm sorry. I'm old school. Sorry. I'm guilty. I love it. But we have to understand that once we learn how to digest the Word of God, digest how to maneuver in Him. Don't you know once we learn how to do all that, we will be better in Christ. Our life would be so much better. Now, is it going to be a flower bed of ease? No. As long as you live, your life will never be a flower bed of ease, because you're not going to go on this road called life on easy street, where everything comes easy, when you ain't going to have no problems, no issues at all. If you lived on a road like that, you wouldn't know how good God is to you. Amen. At the end of the day, we must understand that God has given us a way out. God has given us the weapon of His Spirit. Amen. In Jesus' name. I want to say, before we go, I want to say this. Since it is Black History Month, like I said earlier at the top of the show, I want to give a little bit of Black History facts real quick. Black History fact, actually. And I'm going to start with something that we know to be in history in 2021. I'm going to start right here. Our first Black History fact of the new year for Black History Month. Every week, I'm going to try to give y'all a Black History fact, okay? All right? And I didn't do it at the top of the show, but I'm going to give you a word of the week. The word of the week today is victory. Walk in victory on this week. Everything that concerning you is victory. Everything that you touch shall be in victory. Everything that you desire shall be in victory, as long as it's in the Lord's will. Amen. Victory is the word of the week. Now, this Black History fact is a fact we know, that we all know very well. Our first ever, and I'm proud to say this, our first ever, and y'all probably know where I'm going with this. I'm going to say it again. Our first ever African American Black Vice President. This person has made history in the United States of America. She is the first, and I mean the first, woman of color to be, to sit in a role that no woman has ever sat in. And I'm talking about Vice President Kamala Harris. She has made history not just in the African-American culture, but in multi-cultures. Amen. She has made history, and she is the first person that we are going to talk about, that we're acknowledging, that we're honoring today. Vice President Kamala Harris is the person that we are honoring in our Black History Facts. She is the first ever woman vice president. Amen. She became the first woman of color, the first Black vice president. She is the first woman to ever serve in that role. She started her journey in January of 2021. She started her journey of being Vice President of the United States of America, January of 2021. Amen. That is your Black History Fact for this week, in Jesus' name. As I say in every show, if you are in the Indianapolis area, and I know COVID's out, so we're not there yet, but once we do get there, if you're in the Indianapolis area and you're looking for a church home, or you're just looking for some place to worship, come on by Triumphant Faith Church, and we will love you to life, where our pastor is Pastor William A. Tuggle III, and our co-pastor / First Lady is Cosette Trotman Tuggle. And we will love you to life. Our pastor preaches a mighty dynamic word of God that is Triumphant Faith Church, that is located at 2950 North High School Road, Indianapolis, Indiana. Come on by, and we will love you to life in Jesus' name. As it states in Acts 2 and 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to save in verse 39, and this promise is unto you and unto your children and unto those that are afar off. This means that this is the only way to be saved. This is the only way to see the Lord's face in peace. This is the only way to see the Lord one day, in Jesus' name. God bless you. I love each and every single one of you. And until next Saturday, you do not hear from me on next Saturday. Should the Lord rapture the church, or should the Lord call me, I'm not, when I say this, I'm not speaking this into existence, y'all. I'm just saying. But should the Lord do that, should the Lord not tarry, I will see you all in the rapture, in Jesus' name. God bless you. I love each and every one of you. And until next week, this is The Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle. Yes, we are live. This is the Spirit Alive Network. Continue to mask up. Continue to wear your hand sanitizer. Continue to wash your hands. Continue to do what the CDC says. And continue to pray for me as I pray for you, in Jesus' name. Till next week, this is The Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle. This is the Spirit Alive Network. Continue to listen to us, because we got some great shows coming for the rest of this week. God bless you. I love each and every one of you, in Jesus' name. Peace, y'all. God bless you.